What is happening, people of the interwebs? Welcome to season 2, episode 16, otherwise known as episode number 41 of the Reverent Babble podcast. This is Cody Kelly.
Hey, 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 it's Neil Huntley.
And we're so happy that you have come back to join us for another episode. Now, judging by the quality of the audio, maybe it's a little slight difference from our usual episodes. And that's because, one, this is being recorded on a Monday, so not our usual Tuesdays.
Yep.
But two, the big thing is that this is not an in-person episode like it pretty much always has been, other than that one episode where I was like sick and whatever, and we did
You mean we're not in the same room right now?
Apparently not, no.
Oh, I thought we just switched over to AM radio. I didn't know what was going on.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but yes, no, right? You are correct. We are not in the same room, man. Would you like for me to explain to the people why?
If you feel comfortable with that, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, cool. It's probably obvious already, right? You probably make because when are we not recording in the same room, right?
Yeah,
true. So I guess this is what's new with me. So on Saturday, my son woke up with a fever. We didn't really, you know, give too much thought of it, but other than the fact that, you know, he had it when he went to bed Friday night and woke up with it Saturday morning, said, yeah, we probably need to, you know, take him to the urgent care, get him checked out. And, you know, we really weren't concerned. It was probably just to, you know, give him some Tylenol and Motrin. And if he's still got a fever Monday, take him to his, you know, actual pediatrician. So we didn't think nothing of it. And then all of a sudden I get a text from my wife, Amber, saying that Graham has tested positive for COVID-19. I said, okay. So, I said, Amber, when you get home, you need to go get tested, you know, and then after you get tested, I'll go get tested just to see what we were dealing with. Well, she, as soon as I got back home, she went on and got tested. She's positive too.
Oh, man.
Then I went and took the test and I was negative.
So well, yeah,
I was negative.
Okay.
Yeah. I was negative on the rapid test. And I said, well, we need to do the lab test too, because I need to know for sure, you know, just to get every kind of get a game plan of what to do.
Absolutely.
And then I waited for the lab test and that was negative as well. And, you know, I'm not bashing any like medical stuff at all, or any medical experts, because they know way more than I do. But I had to kind of go against what they suggested at the urgent care. They didn't want me around Amber and Graham because I was negative and they were both positive. They wanted me to quarantine away from them.
No.
And I was like, well, what do you suggest? Because it's impossible for me to quarantine in my house away from them, because one,
right?
I mean, it's a 3-bedroom house, but one of the bedrooms is our mine and Amber's bedroom. One's Graham's bedroom. And the other one's the room I'm sitting in right now. It's like an office / playroom area. So we don't have a second bed for me to sleep in. And he said, well, if you got the money, you probably need to go stay in a hotel all week. And I was like, absolutely not. You know, cause a part of me was like thinking, you know, maybe he's right. Maybe that's the safest thing to do, you know? But then I got home and just saw how fatigued Amber was, you know, and I was like, there's no way that she can look after Graham by the way she is by herself. You know, not saying she's not capable in a normal circumstance, but the way she was Saturday and Sunday, I was like, there's no way, you know, it would not be fair to either one of us, especially her. And so I made a decision to stay home and to quarantine with them, you know, just assuming that I would have it as well, you know,
right.
And,
for sure.
Just take care of my people.
That makes sense,
man.
I mean, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, is it a sacrifice? Sure. But I mean, it's not, you know, I don't see it as anything like a major, you know, crazy decision. I see it as the right decision, because you'll know it later on in life. And guys that are listening that are married with kids, they know that their family comes first. And, you know, and what's best for their family is to look after them and take care of them when the rest of them are down. And so that's what I decided to do. And so far, so good. You know, I haven't felt any symptoms. I'm assuming as Monday as it is right now that I'm still negative, but I will go get tested probably on Wednesday or Thursday just to be safe, you know, before going back to work next week.
Right.
But it's been pretty positive around here, actually. Graham's fever comes and goes. Today was probably his best day without one, but he hasn't slowed down one bit. I mean, he's playing all over the place when it wasn't raining today. We were outside playing. He went and checked out the garden with me. I planted in the garden today with some okra and some peppers and stuff like that.
Nice.
And Amber's had a good day today too on Monday. And, you know, her fatigue, it comes in waves. It's kind of like a roller coaster, but, she'll sit there and kind of crash for a second. Then she's up and she's ready to go again. But it's so far so good. I mean, she's got a little bit of a cough, but nothing major, no fever, nothing like that. She's breathing fine. Her blood oxygen seems well. We got one of those little things you put on your finger.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
So just kind of keeping the look on that.
Nice.
But God's been good, man. It's been a blessing. To say, it's kind of odd to say that it's been a blessing, but you know, just enjoying the time at home with the family and,
right. For sure.
But I'll kind of get into it a little bit deeper than I've already gotten pretty deeper when we get to the little Double Play Devo segment. But yeah, so what's new with me is quarantine at home with two positive COVID people. And I planted a garden today. So that's what's new with me.
Awesome. Oh, yeah. I mean, well, not awesome about the COVID, but awesome that you were able to like stay with them and take care of them, you know, because they're not feeling the greatest right now. And awesome that... I mean, it's like, because I completely understand why you chose to stay. I mean, obviously I'm not married or have any kids or anything like that, you know, but I would completely understand why you would, you know, want to do that for one in the first place, but two, after seeing Amber, you know, kind of feeling, you know, maybe a little bit fatigued, and obviously Graham was, you know, still having his fever, just kind of seeing that, I'm sure, you know, is obviously that by itself, you know, obviously I'm sure a big reason of why you chose to, you know, just be around that and, you know, just kind of take that too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I was nodding my head in agreement, but then I remember that this is a audio only show. So
right.
they don't know what it sounds like when I nod my head up and down.
Right. For sure. You know, that was something too, whenever I was doing like the interviews with Andrew Llewellyn and Bradley Brown, you know, for those, you know, two episodes, you know, well, like I would nod my head in agreement, but I'm like, oh, wait a minute, this is going to be audio. So I have to actually like say something just to prove I was still listening to what they were saying.
Right.
For sure.
Right. Well, cool, man. Well,
yeah, for sure.
Well, anything new with you since we talked last week?
It honestly hasn't really been too awful much. I'm honestly not sure if I mentioned this on the podcast last week or not. I can't remember, but I did finish up my classes at Stanley and I'm going to be graduating this week.
Nice.
I'm going to be graduating on Thursday. It'll be obviously a different kind of thing, you know, because of COVID and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I'll be able to like go to school in my cap and gown, and I'll be able to get my like diploma and take pictures in a way they have it set up to where you can like go up there by yourself and do that and that kind of thing. You know, it's like, you know, like how it works is they'll like have you like drive to a certain parking lot or whatever, and then they have like this pathway that you walk through, and you can go up on this little stage and get your diploma, and then you walk off the stage, you get your picture made, and you get back in your car and go home.
Cool deal, man.
So obviously it's not going to be your typical thing, but
yeah,
for me, it's pretty good because I graduated in 2020, you know, and obviously.
Yeah. That's like a 1 year anniversary more than the honeymoon.
Right. For sure. Absolutely. But at least now I'll kind of have at least, you know, like a little bit of a closer to normal graduation for people, you know, because I didn't get any type of ceremony last year. Like, granted, I'm homeschooled, so I wouldn't have gotten like a normal one anyway, but even that type of feel I didn't get last year because of COVID. So to be able to do that will be pretty cool. But I finished up classes this past week, so I was definitely pretty happy about that for sure. I watched Wingate win their conference championship last week as well, since the last time we talked. Yeah. So that was a lot of fun, you know, and looking forward to transferring down there this fall, being able to work on that. I'm not sure if we mentioned it on the podcast or not, but I'm going to be transferring to Wingate this fall instead of North Greenville. And that's its whole long story that I can take like forever to explain, but I don't really feel like doing that right now.
Cody's taking his talents to the gate instead of North Greenville.
Yes. Yes, for sure.
He's already committed once, entered the transfer portal, and committed again.
Yeah. I mean, like, what was that basketball player? Wasn't there like a college basketball player or a football player that like went to a transfer portal and like he like verbally committed to one school and then he like backed out and went to this other school?
I can't think of a name, but it doesn't surprise me that I could see that happen very easily.
Like, I think it happened after this past college football season was a quarterback or something. I think he like committed to some other school.
Oh yeah.
And then he changed his mind like last minute and then transferred to a different school. I can't remember who it was or where he went or anything like that, but I remember hearing some kind of story like that. But that's basically what I'm doing.
There you go, man.
Is, you know, doing something like that. So, yeah.
Well, cool deal. Well, we got us a good show lined up. It's going to be a short one just because it's over Zoom. And, you know, I got two sicklings in the house, so I'm not going to be too loud for too long. But we got a little spiritual / mental checkup on each other for our double play Devo.
Yeah.
And then we'll recap the draft, give a little NASCAR update. And I think we'll talk about the Hornets, and then we'll scoot on up out of here.
That sounds awesome, man. It sounds good. All right, and we're back. Welcome to this week's Double Play Devo. And for this week's Devo, like we just said a minute ago, this is going to kind of be like that spiritual mental checkup that we did back about like 4 or 5 episodes ago.
Yeah, it's probably about a month.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that was definitely a lot of fun. You know, obviously, we've changed things up, but I thought that was a very cool and interesting conversation that we kind of ended up having towards the end there. So I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, sure. And you know, you really should do that with your buddies about once a month. So it's probably good timing that we're doing it again 1 month later, you know? Just
yeah, for sure.
Because a lot can happen in a month. I mean, shoot, we see how much, let me say, health and safety guidelines can change within 24 hours, let alone a month. So,
right.
So, yeah. So I guess we'll start out with you, Cody. So what have you seen what has God been doing in your life the past month or so? And where do you see kind of God leading you? I guess, you know, you kind of led to it in the intro. I guess you could probably throw some of that story in there too.
Yes, for sure.
But yeah, just what's God been having you doing, and where have you seen God working in your life in the last month?
Well, I mean, like you said just a minute ago, like I mentioned just a little bit in the intro about the fact that I'm going to be going to Wingate this fall instead of North Greenville this fall.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, so that's obviously a pretty big change from what I was been, you know, from what I've been talking about, you know, for like the past few months or so. And if you're a pretty consistent listener of this podcast, you might have listened to the episode where I kind of explained a little bit about stuff happened with my legs, and it was like a nerve, you know, like a neurological thing. We're still trying to figure out. That's its own story. You can go back and try to find that episode and listen to that, you know, because it would take me forever just to explain that part. But long story short, because of that, we kind of took a back seat and just kind of stepped back and kind of looked at the circumstances that were going on.
Sure.
You know, like because of that, you know, because we were obviously, you know, thinking like, okay, I'm fixing to go to school 2.5 hours, 3 hours away. And there are, you know, and just randomly, there'll be times where I can't even walk normally. And I don't really feel comfortable being 2.5, 3 hours away, you know, having to think about every day if I'm going to be able to get to class normally and do all that kind of stuff like that. So like, that was obviously a part of it that we thought about. And obviously, like I taught my parents about, you know, because, you know, I said we, so I talked about it with my parents for a little bit, obviously prayed about it, kind of was making sure, you know, like, okay, so what just happened here? I thought I had this whole plan figured out about where I'm going to school, what I'm going to do when I'm in school and all that kind of stuff. And then this whole situation happens and that whole plan is just, you know, I tossed out the window. So it's just kind of like, what's the plan now? Do I just like take a semester off from school just to try to see about this whole leg thing and try to go to Greenville again in the spring, or do I even go to college at all now? You know, 'cause yeah. I don't know what's going to happen, you know?
Right.
You know, so like after kind of going through that process of, you know, praying and talking and thinking about it for a couple of weeks, I kind of explained the situation to the head coach at Wingate University, you know, for the baseball team, you know, because I had actually been talking to him about some connections he could give me for going down to North Greenville, you know, because he knows people who know people, you know, how that can lead to a lot of different,
yeah,
you know, things for sure.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
It's good to know people.
Yes, for sure. Absolutely. You know, and because I have been talking to him about that, I kind of had to explain to him, okay, hey, I'm, you know, this happens. I'm not sure about college and all this kind of stuff right now. So I just kind of want to give him a heads up, you know, was like really the main reason I told him about it. You know, and obviously, like, after explaining it to him, it was kind of really both me and my dad. We kind of both through separate conversations, we kind of ended up explaining it to him and kind of what we were thinking as mm-hmm. far as college and all that was concerned. And after talking about that for a little bit, he obviously understood my concerns, what my thought process was. And, you know, so once I kind of felt more comfortable about, okay, I still want to try to go to college, I still want to try to do this thing, he actually was talking to me a little bit more about obviously going to Wingate, you know, because obviously, you know, he's head baseball coach at Wingate, you know, he wants to talk to me about going to Wingate. Plus the school is only like 15 minutes away. So,
you know,
so that just kind of makes sense, you know? So we talked about it for a minute, and one of the things we were talking about, you know, was some of the opportunities that I could get involved with and the stuff that I could do while I'm down at college, you know, because he was recommending me to North Greenville because I had been helping out the team for 4 years, but I'm just thankful for him for, you know, giving me the opportunity in the first place, you know, because if that hadn't happened, none of that or none of what I'm fixing to say was, you know, would be possible. So we talked, you know, so we kind of talked about that, you know, and one of the things that he told me was, is that, okay, listen, I don't know what you're going to do as far as college. I don't know if you're going to still go to Greenville or what, or when you're going or anything like that. But if you still are choosing to go to college here pretty soon, I can guarantee you that I'm going to be able to give you some opportunities. I'm going to give you some opportunities to do a lot of stuff for us down here. You mean, you know, like I can get you involved in whatever you want. You, it's like, you know, it's basically like,
yeah, just take your pick.
Like take your pick, basically. Yeah, right.
That's awesome.
You know, like take your pick, basically. Right. You know, and once I kind of heard that, I'm like, you know what? Maybe that was the reason why all that happened with the leg thing, because I was dead set on going to Greenville, and there's nothing against Greenville. Like I said, when I went to school,
it's a great school.
I mean, you know, nothing against the school at all. I mean, it's like when I went there, I loved it. I loved the campus, loved the people there. I just felt really comfortable, you know, there for sure. You know, like really the only thing that was even concerning me, you know, before the whole leg thing was an issue was, you know, just how far it was away.
Well, yeah. And you had kind of going, you talking about that. I mean, you said it was like, what, 2.5-3 hours away from here. And this sounds, it sounds silly the way it's worded, but it makes sense. That's a long 2.5-3 hours away too.
Yes,
like,
it is.
You know, from here to the beach to like North Myrtle was like 2.5-3 hours, right?
Right.
To Caswell's 2.5-3 hours, but that's a pretty easy drive. You know, you just get on 74 and go east, basically. To Tigerville, there's a lot of different roads to get on.
There's a lot of different roads. There's a lot of different roads you're going on. You know, I mean, a
couple
you
different
know,
interstates.
You know, you're and going over different interstates.
I know
once
there's
you get off that, you're going to do a bunch of country roads that you've never seen.
That's,
so
I don't know the name of the road, but I've been to North Greenville and I've come back from there in the at nighttime going back to UNC Charlotte. That's and you talking about that one country road that's like out in the mountains. That's a lonely, dark road at
it
nighttime.
Is. Uh-huh. It's so, a very so, long road.
So, yeah, so you're not wrong in saying it's a long way away, and it seems even longer just because of how you have to get there. You know what I'm saying? So.
Right, for sure, absolutely. You know, and, like, if you've been around me and my family for any length of time, you can definitely tell that I like being close to home.
Oh,
I
yeah, love, you're homebody like I am, man, like Amber is too. I mean,
right, for sure, absolutely. You know, like
we love our family.
Parents.
Exactly.
You know, I just having that difference, you know, would be obviously a big game changer. But I didn't choose North Greenville because, you know, I was wanting you to get away from my parents. You know, like that's something I want to point out right there.
Yeah,
you know?
You're sure you're saying that on a recorded line. Yeah, okay. Uh-huh. Yeah,
yeah.
I believe you. Yeah, sure. Of course you say that now.
Yeah, for sure. Right, yeah. In all seriousness, though, you know, like I really do like hanging around my parents. I like being in places I'm comfortable with. Not saying I don't like to get out of my comfort zone or anything,
sure,
anything like that. It's just that, you know, I'm just not as much of a big, you know, fan of that. If I don't have to, I just felt like, you know, based off of, you know, the way I liked the campus, I just felt like that was the place I needed to go, you know. But kind of going back to what I was talking about with, you know, the head coach at Wingate, you know, just him talking about the opportunities I could possibly have going there, combined with the fact, you know, I've been talking with God and talking to my family and just kind of thinking about, you know, what I'm going to be doing here in the future. It just kind of seemed like, you know, that's the reason why I went through that is to, you know, get this opportunity for who knows what, you know, what's going to happen off that. But just the fact that I know I got, you know, an opportunity to be involved in something that one, I really enjoy, you know, which is baseball and sports and all that. Two, it's with people I already know, you know, like I said, I've been helping out with the team the last 4 years previously to this year. So it's not like I don't know Coach Gregory or any of the assistant coaches or, you know, like, or even some of the players that are on the team too, you know, and, you know, plus, you know, just with that, all the other stuff I could get involved in just because of that, you know, like with the team and with our stuff, but also too, you know, it's obviously, you know, like I said, the school is less than 15 minutes away from my house. So all that just seemed pretty awesome. You know, like, so after kind of hearing that, you know, and obviously talking to my family about some more and praying about some more, I just really felt that that was kind of the right move for me, was to go to Wingate. And because it was really close to home, I felt more comfortable about starting this fall instead of kind of waiting till the spring, because I was originally just going to wait till the spring no matter what.
Yeah.
But then once I kind of got the idea of, hey, you're going to be close to home, if something happens with the legs or whatever, it does. But at least you're not 2.5-3 hours away from home. You're like 10 minutes from home. So if something happens, you got people who can come right there and help you out based on what happens. You know, so if anything does happen, I'm at least in an area that I'm familiar with, surrounded by people I'm familiar with, and, you know, in a really good area that I am familiar with too. So with all that being said, I am going to be going to Wingate this fall, you know, and that's just something I'm going to really be looking forward to. I'm looking forward to the opportunities I could have with the baseball team and beyond, just taking classes in general, you know, and obviously just, you know, getting to a point where I can graduate with my bachelor's, you know, get a job and hopefully something I'm really enjoying, you know, and just the opportunity to be involved with the baseball team again, you know, which is something that I really enjoy which is something I enjoy, you know, whenever I was in high school. Just getting that opportunity again is really awesome. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. So
awesome, man. That's great. Man. That's really good. You can definitely tell that, you know, God was just laying the groundwork for it all. And even in times of uncertainty and frustration that I know that you feel when your legs act the way they do, because I mean, it's out of your control, you know.
Right.
Even though we think we have a control of our nerve endings and all the stuff, you know, like I'm telling my fingers to, you know, to grip something, or I'm telling my feet to walk. Sometimes when stuff like that happens, it's so frustrating because we think we have control over that. And then a little hiccup can cause stuff like that. But even in the frustrating moments, God's still working. And we've kind of talked about that with different devotions on here, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so it's, and, you know, I can firmly believe that God had you planned at Wingate the whole time. You know, it was just this was just kind of part of you understanding that, you know, this is where you're called to be based off the connections that you have and the opportunities that were going to be given to you, you know. Right. And not saying that you wouldn't have had a good time in North Greenville. I'm not saying that at all, but I just don't think that was part of the plan. And I think part of the plan was, you know, starting the process of going down there, but that was to help you see where you really were meant to be in God's plan, which was at Wingate. So I'm excited for you, man. I hope you do some amazing things. I know you've made a good impact on that baseball program as it is. And now with you being a student there too, it's only going to go up from there. You know, I mean,
you know,
I'm not big into stocks. I'm a little bit into, you know, that Dogecoin and the crypto stuff. Yeah. And the Dogecoin is going to the moon right now. And I think Wingate baseball is going to go to the moon when Cody Kelly signs on as an official freshman. So,
oh man,
that's awesome, man.
Oh, well, thank you, man. That really means a lot for sure. And just thank you for the encouraging words, man, for sure. And like I said, I'm definitely looking forward to all the opportunities I'm going to have there for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, man, what's God been doing in your life since we kind of last had this little mental checkup the last month or so? Well, I mean, like I know, just based off the intro, a lot's changed in the last week, let alone last month.
Yeah, mine's really mostly about this week because I'll kind of leave it at that. And mine's not as elaborate as a painting as yours was. You're a great storyteller.
Well, Neil, I think you've known me long enough to know that whenever I explain something, I can't just explain it in a couple sentences. It has to be like this big elaborate story, which is funny because I don't always intend for it to be.
Well, it comes in handy, especially when we're headed back home from ball games, because you help me stay awake when I'm driving us home. So it's greatly appreciated. I really want to kind of focus on, on the last week. Just because really the last 3-4 days, because I've always kind of struggled at looking too far ahead sometimes and not being content and being happy with what the now is. And, Saturday was definitely a moment where I was freaking out about the future. Okay.
Right.
And, you know, because Graham's been tested 4 times for COVID. And
that's a lot for a little kid like that.
Yeah. All the other times it was negative, which we knew it was, you know, it's just, it was almost like, that's just immediate thought. I'm not going to get too deep into my opinions on it. Cause I mean, I know it's a real thing. I'm not saying that COVID's not a real thing, cause anybody that thinks that, you're ridiculous. You need to just stop.
Right.
But it was almost like nothing else matters. Does he have COVID or not? You know, it was just kind of, that's how it was for a few times. And so when Amber said, I'm taking him to urgent care, I was like, yeah, okay. They'll say, just check back with his doctor on Monday. They'll probably test him, but it's going to be negative, you know, stuff like that. So, but when I got that text that said Graham's positive, my heart just sank, you know?
Yeah.
Especially where we were. I mean, we were, you know, we were with the youth washing the buses and stuff and all that. Cause I knew I had to get y'all out of there fast, you know?
Right.
Thankfully I wasn't, you know, we weren't all over each other. We were outside, you know, things like that.
Right. For sure.
If you want to say the wind helps, it was a nice breezy day too.
Yeah. I mean, hey, yeah.
But my mind was racing because one, I was thinking about Graham, of course, because and this is just, I guess, is a biased point of view too, but I don't know of any other 2-year-old that has tested positive for COVID. Okay. I haven't heard of that. That's mind blowing, you know?
Right.
Second, I was thinking about Amber and how she was thinking, how she was taking it, because she was the one there at the urgent care, you know? Then I was thinking about, you know, my mom and dad were at the house the night before and they were playing with Graham. Graham was all over them. They were all over Graham, yeah. You know? So that was worrying me. And then I was worried about y'all because I'd been around y'all. And, you know, so, and I was worried that it may be a bad look that I knew that my son was going to the urgent care and we still had the bus wash, which, you know, in hindsight, you know, I didn't expect him to come home with a positive COVID test. I just, everything just piled on so fast and only because I let it, you know, I could have easily just took a deep breath, said a prayer and just kind of powered through it, but it was so overwhelming so fast, you know?
I mean, well, it's just like, it's crazy what one sentence can just, you know, put your mind through, but it made sense, you know, like for me, why, you know, it's like, that's just kind of a natural thing just to think of, oh, because Graham tests positive. Okay, well, you know, like who's all the people I've been around and what's going to happen with them and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, and like, how does this like look on me and how does this look on everybody else? Not kind of stuff, you know, so I completely understand why you thought that for sure.
Absolutely. And so I finally got all y'all home. Thank you for taking one of the students home too. I appreciate that. That really, you know, saved a lot of time.
Absolutely, man.
Got everything cleaned up, you know, threw my mask on just to be safe. Because at that point, I didn't know if I had it too, you know. I finally got over to the house. Amber went and got tested. And when she texted me, said she was positive, then it really just ramped right back up again, you know.
Right.
But thankfully, in that time, when Amber was on the way home, we had figured out that since my mom and dad's vaccinations have been in their system for a couple of weeks, they're good. You know, they're, I mean, it doesn't completely 100% protect them, but they're clear.
But it gives them a lot better chance of not getting it.
They're clear to come help if they need to, you know, with a mask on, of course, and things like that. And so on my way to the doctor, I was like, well, I know that I'm going to be positive, you know, but the whole day of it was just so stressful, so worrisome. And there's some other things that play into it too. But when I got to the doctor, they took my blood pressure. It was through the roof. You know, it was extremely high just because my mind was going everywhere. My heart was racing. I couldn't just calm down, take a deep breath on top of me being a little bit larger than I probably should be anyway. So that was like that. And then I was worried, you know,
I think all of us can say that about being larger.
True. That's right. We're all American, right? So then I was waiting on the rapid test and that was negative. And then he said, we'll do the lab test too, but it's probably gonna be negative as well. And so then my mind started racing again about, you know, now they're telling me I got a quarantine for my family, yada, yada, yada. And I finally called my dad and he told me, he said, you need to take a deep breath right now. You know, the right thing to do is to stay with your family and take care of them. And from that time on, and he also said, you need to take it one day at a time. He said, you've already told your boss you're going to be out for at least 10 days. You know, that's all settled. Don't worry about that. Take it one day at a time. And I knew that was God using my dad in that moment for sure.
Oh, yeah.
because at first I was calling Dad saying I needed hotel points, you know, to go check into a hotel in Monroe. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, what if something drastic changed about Amber or Graham overnight and I wasn't there? You know,
right.
I wouldn't know what to do with myself. Not that I was thinking off the ledge automatically, you know, but we don't know with especially with COVID. Cause I mean, the way it's been with Graham, he's had a fever off and on, but he's playing. Okay. The way it's been with Amber, she's really tired. That's about it. You know? But I've known two people that have passed away from it. Some it was gradual and some like Luke Ratliff, it was a matter of hours. He was gone, you know?
Right.
And so it's just that level of uncertainty. But when I heard my dad say on the phone, take it one day at a time, I knew that was God talking through my dad. And I'm so thankful for that because it made me think about sports too. You know, they in football, our coach would tell us, take it one play at a time. Because half the time we were out there, we were thinking we need to get the first down and then we need to score. Okay. But sometimes it was second and 13. No, we needed to get a couple more yards and then we'd have a better chance of getting a first down and then we'd have a better chance of scoring. We need to take it one play at a time. Just like with this, got to take it one day at a time. Thankfully, the days since the positive test have gotten better. They've progressed really well. Now, tomorrow, could it get worse? Could it get worse? Yeah, it can get worse.
Oh,
this
yeah.
This is a virus that even a year in with vaccinations, we still don't really know how it works just because it affects so many people so differently.
Right.
Do we know how the flu works? Yes. Okay. It makes you sick. It gives you chills, gives you body aches, and you stay in bed till you get better. Okay. That's what it does with most people. but with this, you can either be asymptomatic like Amber's sister is. Okay. Cause the same night Graham came home with a fever. Our nephew went home with a fever too. He tested negative, but his mom tested positive and she's asymptomatic. No symptoms at all.
Okay? Wow. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just so drastic. And I think that's what had me freaked out too. But from there on, I've felt God through my dad say, take it one day at a time. And that's what I've been doing. And so, you know, when Amber's feeling down, I take care of her, get her what she needs. Okay. And I'm playing with Graham. When Graham's down, I'm looking after him and letting Amber get some rest, you know, stuff like that. And I'm stepping up and feeling like I'm being the man that God's called me to be in this situation. That's being the leader of this house, the protector, the provider. You know, just wear all the hats right now because I got two people down. I got two people on the DL right now, you know? And so I'm stepping up and I'm thankful for this time with my family, whether they're, you know, feeling 100% or not. It's been a good week. If it gets worse tomorrow and Wednesday, so be it. We'll power through it because, you know, we can only play with the cards that we're dealt with in the moment. You know,
right.
We can look towards the future. I can, cause you know, when I was worrying about what in the world's going to happen in 2 weeks, like where are we going to be 2 weeks from now? And God was saying, you don't have to worry about where you are for 2 weeks now. Worry about where you are right now. Cause it says in scripture, don't worry about tomorrow for today's got enough to worry about of its own, you know?
Right.
And so every day I'm right. When I get up, I say, Lord, I'm going to trust you today. Like I trust you yesterday and I'll trust you tomorrow. Like I trust you today. Take it one day at a time. And I think, you know, if anything I take from this time home quarantined is just to take life one day at a time and not be too consumed about what's tomorrow because then you miss what's now. And so that's what I felt God doing in my life for sure. It's just telling me to take a deep breath. Don't get so worked up about stuff. Don't get so stressed. Okay.
Right.
And then take it one day at a time.
Well, that's definitely a pretty awesome way that one, God, like you said, kind of spoke through your dad to kind of calm me down, kind of put things, you know, perspective for you as far as, you know, the way this whole thing goes. And this, well, like you said, you can only take this one day at a time and just kind of see how things go, whether they get better or worse, you know, but like, that's just really cool how you've been able to kind of put things in perspective like that and to kind of hear the encouragement from those around you. And that's definitely, you know, I can tell that's definitely had a really big impact on you, man, for sure. But just keeping things in perspective, like you said about that, and just kind of taking it, like you said, one day at a time, no matter what happens, you know, and being there for other people when they're down, man, that's pretty awesome for sure.
Absolutely, man. But yeah, so, but yeah, we do these, y'all, not to, you know, brag about what's going on in our life, which mine hadn't been much of a brag. but we, you know, we can find blessings in everything for sure.
Absolutely.
But we do these every once in a while just to encourage y'all to reach out to the people that you are closest with, just to check on them, you know,
right.
That make, hey, how are you doing? Make that not a rhetorical question. Cause I right. feel like that's even like a what's up, that's like a greeting, you know, it's just rhetorical. You don't even answer it. You just say it back to them.
Right.
But make that an actual serious question and have a good conversation. They might have short answers like I do. They might have Bob Ross murals like Cody does.
Yep.
But at least you're asking them, and at least they're able to tell somebody, because you don't know what all the stuff that somebody might have to tell you, and you never ask, you never get to hear it, you know?
Right.
There's awesome stories out there to be told, and they're just waiting to be asked about. So go Absolutely. Ask your buddy. All right, it is sports time. Time to update y'all on the week that was in the world of sports. This is the weekly score. Maybe that was
okay. I'm honestly wondering is how that sounds like when I'm gonna go to edit this, because like to me it sounds at the same time, but I wonder how like the audio is gonna read it. So
it was like a half second off on my side. Yeah.
Oh really?
So you're a little echo for me.
Well, like that's honestly kind of funny, because from my perspective, we said like at the same time. That's kind of weird. Maybe it's the person who's like hosting it is feeding off to the other person. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know. But anyway, so yeah, man. So what's going on in this week's weekly score?
Well, since we previewed the draft last week, it would make sense to kind of give our opinions and reactions to parts of the draft this week.
That makes sense to me.
So we had the NFL draft over the weekend.
Yeah.
Some really predictable picks, some really surprising picks.
Yeah.
So of course, you know, the top 10, we predicted our top 10.
Yes.
And for a few picks, we were pretty spot on. I even texted you that I was right about a couple of them. I was surprised that I was right about, right?
Yeah.
And, but there was also a few that were surprising, actually.
Absolutely.
So Cody, if you give me your surprise out of the top 10, and I'll give you my surprise out of the top 10.
Okay, so let's see. Probably my biggest surprise out of the top 10 was, okay, this is probably a tie. It was a tie between the Dolphins picking Jalen Waddle over Devontae Smith. I was surprised about that, because I thought that after Ja'Marr Chase went, Devontae Smith would be the next receiver off the board. Instead, it was Jalen Waddle. So that kind of surprised me a little bit. But probably that, and the fact that the Panthers did not trade down once they lost out on Penei Sewell after the Lions drafted and picked before. I was surprised that the Panthers didn't trade down, but once we talk about the Panthers draft in just a minute, I'll kind of explain how I feel about that whole thing. You know, but like that was probably my two biggest surprises that were kind of near the top for me, was the fact that Jalen Waddle got picked before Devontae Smith and that the Panthers did not trade their pick down. That was basically my top two.
Okay.
That I thought was kind of crazy.
Yeah. My biggest surprise, I think that's, you know, some people are reacting to the whole Trey Lance or Mac Jones deal in San Francisco.
Right.
And that, I think that's too common of a thing to talk about.
I didn't say it, because I knew that was going to be like the most common thing. And that surprised me too. I just didn't really want to bring that up.
Yeah. I think my biggest surprise was, even though they already have two quarterbacks on the roster, I was surprised that the Broncos did not go with Justin Fields.
Yes.
I really was.
Yes, I am too. Yes, I am too. I really was surprised that they went with Patrick Surtain instead of him. I really was.
I think a lot of Broncos fans were surprised too. I mean, is Patrick Surtain I don't even know how you say his last name. he doesn't listen, so it don't matter. But he might. Hey, you know Patrick. But you know, not a knock on him at all. Him and Farley were the top two. You know, well, I'll get to that in just a little bit. They were two of the top three corners in the draft for sure.
Okay. Yeah.
And so he's a great player. He'll be a good asset on that defense in Denver. But I was really surprised that you're going to go with Bridgewater and Locke as your two guys right now.
Yeah. Like,
because
that was my biggest surprise for sure.
You've given Locke several chances. Okay.
A lot of chances.
Is he cool on the sidelines when he's singing to the songs that are playing on stadium? Yeah, sure. Everybody's cool when they do that. But you saw what Bridgewater did last year.
Yeah.
Okay. And you saw that all you had to give up was a 6th round pick to get him. Okay. That should say something too.
Yes.
And it's nothing personal against Teddy Bridgewater, but you know, he disappointed me several times last season.
Same.
Just based off the performance. But I couldn't go out there and do any better. But just from a fan point of view, it was disappointing. And so I, you know, as many quarterbacks that John Elway has gone through since Peyton Manning, you would think he would give a rookie a chance. Okay.
Right.
Especially a rookie in Justin Fields, you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Because even Mac Jones could have gone in that situation, you know.
Well, that was my whole thing with the Broncos pick. I'm like, let's just say you didn't want Justin Fields, because I know Justin Fields doesn't fit the John Elway type of quarterback.
Yeah.
But
Mac Jones was still on the board too.
You know, but if you didn't want him, you know, because you didn't like that style, you could have gone, like you said, you could have gone with Mac Jones, because he was still on the board, and Mac Jones would have fit more of that John Elway type of quarterback that you're wanting. Would people have called it a reach? Probably, but the fan base probably, I'm not a Bronco fan, so I can't speak for them, but I'd imagine Broncos fans would have rather had Mac Jones and Patrick Surtain in the grand scheme of things.
I think so too.
Yeah.
And who knows, in 5 years, Patrick might be a 4-time all pro bowler, shutdown cornerback. We don't
know.
And Justin Fields will be a bust, but I doubt that. But, you know, it's going to be weird to see a Justin Fields like quarterback playing for the Bears, but
yes.
You know, props to them for trading up and getting him, but that was absolutely outside the top 10. But my other surprise, which leads into our next little part, is I'm surprised that the Panthers went DB on the first pick.
Yeah, same here. I was very surprised.
I wasn't mad at all. I was a little surprised, just because it kind of came out of left field from a fan's perspective.
It really did for me. I mean, like, that was really the big thing for me, because I was watching a draft with a few friends of mine. And we were watching the draft, because they had like a thing that night, and it started at 7, it finished at 8:30. So the draft had like just started. So so I just hung out for a little bit so we could watch a little bit of the draft. And, you know, of course, all of us were just waiting for the Panthers pick. And then we all went home obviously after that.
Right.
But like, whenever I heard that pick, you should have seen the look on my face. I mean, you should have seen the look on my face. I'm like, J.C. Horn? I mean, like, because one, I was surprised that the Panthers didn't trade down, like I said earlier.
Right.
But two, when they didn't trade down and they went corner, I'm like, out of all the positions and all the players you could have gotten at pick number 8,
mm-hmm.
and you chose not to trade down, you got a cornerback. I mean, that was definitely kind of surprising that the Panthers went corner there. But
yeah, that was,
you know,
that
well,
was
that plus who it was.
Right.
Because they had Patrick Surtain still on the board, and mm-hmm. he went next pick to Denver. So what I was thinking was, whoever picks corner first, I thought Patrick Surtain was going to be the first corner off the board, not J.C. Horn.
Sure. Yeah. You know, there were some Panther fans on Twitter, and, you know, I follow some gems of Panther fans on Twitter. You know, they think they just know everything. I love each and every one of you, but y'all need to calm down sometimes. They were livid that we didn't draft Justin Fields. And, you know, to a certain extent, I was like, well, if, you know, Sewell got stolen by the Lions, which, I mean, they played their cards right and took him before we had a chance to.
Right.
I was like, well, at this point, just whatever you do, don't draft Mac Jones. Just because we already have Sam Darnold. He's that style. We don't need two of the same style. Okay.
Right, for sure.
I was like, well, I mean, it wouldn't hurt to have Fields and see what happens, you know. But when I saw that Darnold's 5th-year option was picked up, I was like, yeah, we're not drafting quarterback this year. So I didn't know what was going on. And I thought Slater from Northwestern would have been the pick.
Oh yeah.
You know, but I was like, I don't know that would be a reach for him this early in the top 10 too. So I knew we were going defense, and it was a surprise to hear J.C. Horn, because, because I was like, well, man, I hadn't heard his name in a while,
right.
But my knee jerk reaction was kind of like you. It was kind of like, really? Like, I'm just not mad, but like, just kind of confused, you know, but the more I sat and thought about it, the more I
by the
felt,
pick itself, I wasn't mad with at all. I mean, J.C. Horn's a really good player. And
oh, yeah.
Probably what you're fixing to talk about is how good he was at South Carolina. Yeah. You know, once you look at that, it's really good. But I was just, like you said, it was just kind of an out of left field pick for me.
It was. It was an out of left field pick. But you could tell from a scouting perspective that they had him on, they had him on the list ready to go.
Yes.
Like you could probably tell that their list for number eight was Penei Sewell, number two, J.C. Horn. Okay.
Yeah.
It was because the way it happened and the confidence that they had in it immediately, you could tell he was the second option at that eight pick, you know, which gives me, I mean, the way that Scott Fitter has run since he's become GM, I have no reason not to trust him. Okay. Yeah. And I mean, even the draft we did last year, when we draft nothing but defense, it turned out pretty well. Okay. We got some pretty good guys out of that, right?
Really good guys out of that draft.
Derek Brown, Jeremy Chinn, just saying. But This is what I felt great about once I saw it on Twitter. Pro Football Focus put out a tweet, said these are notable performances by the new Panthers cornerback, J.C. Horn. Okay. So this is matchups against the top receivers in the SEC last year. Okay.
Yeah.
Jalen Waddle, he was a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
Right. One catch on one target for 12 yards. Okay. Couldn't even get another pass to him. Jerry Jeudy. One catch, one target, 7 yards. Justin Ross, two catches on four targets, 14 yards. Kyle Pitts, who went to the Falcons, who's an absolute monster of a weapon.
Who's a beast.
One catch, three targets, 20 yards.
Wow.
On Seth Williams, one catch on nine targets, 44 yards, and two picks.
Whew.
And a lot against Elijah Moore. Seven catches, 10 targets, 47 yards, and that's a combined of two game stats. The only wide receiver that he gave up more than 50 yards on was the Heisman Trophy winner, Devontae Smith.
And so, there's a reason why he won the Heisman Trophy.
And there's a reason why he won the Heisman Trophy. So those stats alone do not lie as to why J.C. Horn deserved to be a top 10 pick.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And not knocking on Dante Jackson, but he needs help out there, okay?
Yes, he does
need help out there. And we got Jeremy Chinn running safety and sometimes linebacker, so he can't be out there on the corners. So having a guy like this that brings this amount of shutdown D immediately is really exciting. Now, I will say this. Playing cornerback in the NFL is completely different than playing college football, let alone in the SEC.
It's a whole lot different.
Where the SEC is just run 40 yards and turn around and see if the ball's there.
That's probably one of the hardest positions to translate from college to the NFL is corner.
The schemes are way different.
Oh, yeah.
The way you have to draw up plays on defense is way different, which I never played defense. You know, I just had to look and say, all right, there's a linebacker there and there's a cornerbacker over there. You know, I didn't really understand the defensive schemes because I never played it in high school. Right. But, I mean, it's a completely different game on defense in the NFL for sure. But I think the talents that he had in Columbia over the last 3 years will transfer very well a couple hours north up in Charlotte on Mint Street.
Yes, for sure.
And this kind of leads into our thoughts on the Panthers draft. Cody, I think Fitterer and Rule knocked it out of the park.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying that just as a Panthers fan. I mean, CBS Sports gave him a B+. I think that's a fair. That are A- is a good grade. Because they addressed offensive line twice. Okay.
Yes. And I was definitely very happy about that because
Christensen from BYU, who had
amazing
grades. Oh, fantastic pick. And Brown from Alabama, who looks like an absolute just, you know, unit of a person.
Yeah. Looks like a tank out there.
Yes, he does. And the videos, highlights that he's had on guys is amazing. So we addressed that. We addressed the hole that was Curtis Samuel spot, okay, with a great pick out of LSU. With
Terrence Marshall,
Terrence Marshall. Yes.
That was definitely a good pick.
And we got us a new long snapper.
Yeah, we got a new long snapper out there who thought he was getting a call to be an undrafted free agent for some reason.
That was a funny clip. That was awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, if y'all hadn't seen that, you need to look it up. That was hilarious because it was Rule calling him. He said, "You coming or what?" He said, "I'm trying to figure it out." I guess he thought he was, you know, or I guess we're going to sign for undrafted. He said, no, I just drafted you. You coming or what? And he said a few words that we won't say on this podcast. But to say he was shocked, you know, is
an but he was shocked and he was excited.
Yeah, that's right. And so, and I looked up his stats. He had like a 97% snap accuracy. I didn't even know they kept up with that kind of stat
for long snappers,
but I guess they like keep up with something for them, right? but I mean, not a bad pick. I mean, JJ Jansen isn't getting any younger. He's the longest tenured Panther on the Panthers right now. And so it's only a matter of time before he's done, you know, so might as well get his replacement while he's there. And, but yeah, I thought they knocked it out of the park. Don't you agree?
Oh, for sure, man. Absolutely. Really my biggest complaint with last year's draft. I mean, I understand last year's draft was really good. You know, Derek Brown and Jeremy Chinn ended up being really good, obviously, last year. I just felt that there were other needs that could have been addressed other than defense that they obviously didn't do because it was all defensive draft. I mean, which I understood why they went all defense, just because the Panthers defense, you know, was kind of in shambles. But the fact that basically every pick addressed basically every need that the Panthers had, you know, because they addressed really every major need the Panthers had. I mean, it's like you said, they went O-line twice. O-line is something the Panthers need to have help with the last couple of years, you know, because really it's just been Taylor Moten out there.
Yeah. If only we had five Taylor Motens out there.
Right, for sure. Absolutely. But like having picks like Brady Christensen and Deontay Brown, those were two really great picks. So so the offensive line, I really like that pick. I obviously like that we obviously got a replacement for Curtis Samuel and Terrence Marshall, which that just really shows how good the wide receiver class was in this draft, that he was, you know, that he was in the second round.
Yep.
I mean, like, I'm not saying he was as top tier as those guys as far as like draft worthiness, but the fact that he wasn't even like a late first round pick, because in some other drafts he might have been a late first round pick instead of a mid late second round pick. But the fact that the Panthers got to address that need of wide receiver with Terrence Marshall, I was definitely a fan of that pick. I also liked that we kind of got a replacement for Mike Davis.
Yeah.
How you say his name?
Chuba Hubbard. Yeah, that was a steal at that position. I did not.
That was an absolute steal.
Fall that far.
That was an absolute steal that the Panthers were able to get him. I was happy that they were able to address defensive tackle, you know, because they don't have a Kwon Short anymore. So the fact that they were able to pair someone else with Derek Brown up front is definitely really nice. And that's going to definitely help a little bit. I mean, obviously they weren't top picks or anything like that, but just the fact that you have depth at defensive tackle is going to be really good. Obviously long snapper, you know, and plus two, they drafted Tommy Trimble from Notre Dame.
Yes.
You know, that was definitely a really good pick. And the fact that he fell to the third round, that was a really awesome pick for the Panthers to have, you know, because the Panthers really need help at tight end. Cause really,
now that Manhurts is gone too.
Oh yeah. Right. For sure. Absolutely. And once Greg Olsen left, we didn't really have that tight end that you could really develop to throw the ball to, because really, I mean, obviously you had Ian Thomas, but he's not the greatest pass catcher in the world. Really, really both him and Manhurts, Ian Thomas and Manhurts, were really more blockers than they were receivers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so kind of getting a guy who was a really good receiving threat when you play for Fighting Irish at Notre Dame. So to kind of get a guy like that, obviously to one kind of fill in that tight end spot now that Manhurts is gone, but to have another guy who you can give Sam Darnold to throw the ball to, that definitely helped out for sure. So as far as needs and just really good draft value, I was a huge fan of this draft. Absolutely.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And to close out our draft talk, Cody, out of all the picks, which there were so many, right? I mean, it's a weekend full. The most surprising pick to you was blank.
Of like of the Panthers or of the whole draft?
The whole draft.
Oh, man. This is honestly kind of a hard one. Okay, what I was going to say is Kyle Trask, but I don't think that's a surprise. Tom Brady's getting old, and you need to have someone to be on the roster whenever he eventually retires. So I'm not going to say that. I'd say probably the most surprising pick, like one that surprised me, this may not be like the most surprising pick in the media, but I was surprised that the Bengals did not go O-line and draft Penei Sewell.
I told you they were going to go wide receiver.
I know, but just the way I was thinking, I mean, you know, wide receiver makes sense for the Bengals for sure. I'm not saying that at all. You know, obviously they don't have AJ Green anymore. And obviously, you know, the Bengals are just in rough shape. So to have Joe Burrow's number one target, that with him in the NFL, that's obviously a big cool thing there. Mm-hmm. But I just felt the offensive line was really important for the Bengals. And the fact that they could have had Penei Sewell and they didn't, and the fact that the team that drafted Penei Sewell, in my opinion, should have gone receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly think it should have been reversed. I think the Bengals should have drafted Sewell, and I think the Lions should have drafted a receiver, especially because they don't have Marvin Jones anymore.
Yeah, well, and the I thought that at first, and, you know, we even talked about that last week.
Uh-huh.
But as I was driving home from recording last Tuesday and watching the draft over the weekend, you know, that the new coach at Detroit, he don't like pretty boys on his football team.
Nope.
He wants people to bite kneecaps, and the person that's going to bite a kneecap first is offensive lineman. So I'm pretty sure they went OL, OL, DL, OL or something like that. I mean, they literally went line for like 4 out of 5 picks or something like that.
They went line heavy for sure.
I agree with you for that. And another thing I saw that was funny was, you know how it's a couple weeks ago that the Bengals came out with their new uniforms.
Yes.
Somebody said,
well, now, I guess my question is, are they new? Because they already seem new to me.
They basically changed the font, the numbers. But somebody had a photoshopped picture. It said, live look at the new Bengals uniforms, and the white jersey that Burrow was in. It was covered in grass stains because they didn't draft O-line.
Exactly. So, yeah.
I would say two. I have two surprises.
Okay.
And one's a bad surprise and one's a good surprise. I'll do the bad surprise first.
Okay.
I was surprised that the Saints went with Ian Book in the later rounds, the quarterback from Notre Dame. As good as he was, I just never saw his game translating well to the NFL. Right. So I thought he would be an undrafted free agent. I really did.
Wow.
I really did.
Really?
I think part of that's my biased opinion against Notre Dame athletics anyway, but I really didn't see him going in the draft. I just didn't. But that's why I'm not a draft expert, but to see him go to the Saints was surprising because.
Well, like to me, that was more of the surprise, not the fact that he got drafted. I mean, like not that he would have been a top tier pick in, I figured he would be drafted in like a Kyle Trask situation, either by a team that had an older quarterback or a team whose backup quarterback was older,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that way he just kind of helped solidify the backup quarterback position. But the fact that I'm not saying this is going to happen, but he's put in a situation because right now the Saints don't know who their quarterback is at all, you know, so who knows what could happen? Who knows what could happen with the Saints? I guess that's why it was surprising that a team like the Saints, who already has a quarterback controversy between Jameis and Taysom Hill, just kind of added even more to that controversy by drafting Ian Book. I guess that was my, that was my surprise from that pick. I don't know if it was yours, but that was kind of my big thing.
That was the big thing. The other one was just kind of throwing shade towards Notre Dame. because that the whole thing about them hating on the ACC, that was, don't even get me started on that.
Yeah.
But my good surprise, which some people didn't like at all, was, you know, of course, Jacksonville went Trevor Lawrence, round 1, pick 1.
Yeah.
But they had a second first round pick this year. And they went with Travis Etienne.
Which
I think it's awesome.
That was an awesome pick. Was awesome. I was a huge fan of that.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, from a Jaguars point of view, they got running backs, you know. So they're like, what in the world are
Robinson.
We drafting? Yeah, what are we drafting Etienne for? You know?
Right.
You're drafting it for that connection. Okay.
Exactly.
You're drafting it for that connection in the locker room that could flourish and umbrella out elsewhere. And he's an automatic weapon.
Absolutely.
In
both the run and the pass game.
Yeah, and return game. You know, if anything, he's your specialist returner for the next couple of years. You know, and if he flourishes, turn him into your starting running back. You know, or at least a third down guy.
Yeah,
or a slot guy too. Hey, I mean, he's so versatile. You know, it seemed like he was playing at Clemson for 10 years, you know?
Yeah, I know. It seemed like he was there like forever.
Not only Trevor Lawrence there, but I mean, I feel like every time the ball was touched, they were saying ETN, ETN, ETN. You know, he was so, so fun to watch at Clemson.
Extremely fun.
And I think, you know, we talked about how Jalen Waddle and Burrow on the same team again. Is that right?
Chase and
Ja'Marr Chase. That's what I meant. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. So, you know, so they're on the same team again.
Yes.
And after a year away from each other, but Trevor Lawrence and Etienne go straight from Clemson, South Carolina, straight to Jacksonville.
Straight to Jacksonville.
Which I think having that connection with rookies is awesome.
Absolutely.
And I think Urban Meyer was just licking his chops when he saw Etienne was still on the board, you know, in that second first round pick. So those were my two surprises for sure.
Yes. And it obviously makes sense why Jacksonville fans wouldn't like the pick, because they already have a good running back, James Robinson, who just like broke out last year, you know, and he was obviously really good. But it's like you said, you're drafting for that connection, you know, between Lawrence and him. You're obviously drafting him, you know, because like you said, he's a versatile player. He can play everywhere. But I think a guy like Etienne is going to help make Lawrence's transition into the NFL be that much smoother, you know, because let's face it, Lawrence has been the consensus number one overall pick since his freshman season when he won the national championship. He was the number one overall pick 2 years before he got drafted. Let's be honest here. If you ask me, he was the number one overall pick in this draft 2 years ago after he won a national championship his freshman year once he broke out. He was the number one pick. So to have that pressure coming in to Jacksonville, the brand new head coach, a brand new philosophy, you know, that whole thing, obviously being the number one picks, it's going to, you know, be that way. But to have a guy like Etienne to kind of help balance that out that much more, I think that was definitely a great pick from that standpoint, as well as what he can bring to the team.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. But I mean, what a fun draft.
Absolutely.
You know, not only was the talent level there, you know, it was never really a boring moment in the draft. Now, did I watch every single pick? No, but I kept up with it for the most part.
Same here.
The excitement level from pick one to pick whatever the last one was, Mr. Irrelevant.
I think 259. I think that was the number this year.
Which is kind of funny that the guy that was drafted last, he was number zero on Houston. He was, you know, zero represents being a nobody, which he's not a nobody. Maybe watch him be the best player of the draft, you know.
Who knows?
But a fun draft, and for it to be in front of fans, for fans to be involved in the draft. You know, I will say that that the whole chair thing was oddly uncomfortable and awkward. And I think Goodell thought it was like the most hilarious thing ever, that, oh, look, it's my chair that I sat in all the whole draft last year. Who cares? Okay.
Like, to me, it was just random and just weird.
Yeah. Well, they kept bragging about how everybody was vaccinated and everybody had cleared.
Everyone's sitting in the same chair.
Everybody's sitting in the same chair.
Sitting in the same chair. That's what I thought too. I'm like, we're talking about being vaccinated and all this stuff, and all these people are literally sitting in the same chair. I mean, like, you know, yeah, you know, that was just kind of weird. But,
well, you know, Goodell's going to do something like that. He's got, just to remain normal, he's got to do something awkward. But, in all, a great draft, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Well, Cody, as we close out the show, let's just give our three quick little segments. I'll go first. We had the race at Kansas on Sunday.
Yes.
It was the Bushy McBush race, 400. And I thought, you know, that was a fan voted race for the Bush sponsored race at Kansas. They couldn't come up with a name, so they left it up to a fan vote, and it was voted to be the Bushy McBush race 400. And
I guess, my question, just want to, you know, just real quickly, out of all your people, that's like, you know, up in the offices and branding people, like, you couldn't have just thought of just a name, you know,
somebody got paid to come up with that as an option.
Yeah, I know. Like, you know? I'm just sitting here thinking, someone literally got paid to call this that.
And that's sounds, right.
Yeah, just so weird and random. But yeah. But anyway,
but it was all too fitting, even to my dislike and disgust, that Kyle Busch won the Bushy McBush race 400. So we had a Busch brother.
Well, that just kind of made sense that one of the Busch brothers won that race. Yeah,
and it was on his birthday, too. And Kyle Busch did not win at all last year. He snuck into the playoffs all points. But, I mean, he was out pretty quick just because he couldn't win. But he made a crew chief change, and he was out there at the right place at the right time to win that race on Sunday.
Yeah.
And, you know, the biggest controversy of this race, If you haven't seen it, go back and look at the highlights, was during green flag pit stops, you know, where there hadn't been a caution for a while. And so they're running out of gas, tires are getting, you know, wore out. They had to make pit stops during green flag. And Tyler Reddick's, one of his tire guy, when he took the old tire off, you know, they roll it to the wall, guy that's behind the wall picks it up, you know. Well, the guy that was supposed to pick it up, apparently he just forgot to use his hands for a couple seconds, and it bounced off the wall, rolled out onto pit road, and stopped in the infield, so in the grass area.
Oh, now, no.
Usually that's an automatic caution because there's debris, you know.
Right.
Who knows, that tire could keep rolling. It could roll back. Hitting a tire, it's a whole wheel too.
Yeah.
It could do some serious damage.
Absolutely. You know?
But they were talking about on the race that watch this, because at that time Chris Buescher was still in the lead, who you don't hear his name much at all. He's a good race car driver,
yeah,
but you don't hear his name much at all. He rides for Roush Fenway with Ryan Newman, but he was out front running good. He was one of the few guys that did not make a green flag pit stop yet, hoping that they would throw a caution flag for the debris.
Okay? Right.
Because if they threw a caution, he would have been in first place at the time the caution came out. That way he'd be first on the pit road and hopefully the first one out to keep his first place position.
Right, exactly.
But that didn't happen. Okay.
So that risk didn't really pay off there.
Exactly. So their game plan was to risk, hopefully a caution would come out so they could stay in first. Well, their fuel window was coming up quick. Okay. They had about 5 laps left on their fuel, estimated wise. And so they came in with about 3.5 laps in to that 5 lap fuel window. Ugh. And literally as soon as he pulled onto pit road, caution came out. For that tire, which they talked about on the broadcast that most of the time, most of the time, if it doesn't come out right away for something like that, they usually let everybody on the lead lap have a green flag pit stop. Okay. And so it was really just a matter of which NASCAR official was going to say what. Okay. And it was just kind of like a coin toss. And it just so happened, as soon as he got on pit road, he went from first place to one lap down and could not recover from that, you know.
That's brutal.
That was the way the cards fell for him.
That's brutal.
But Kyle Busch won. We had another first time winner this season. Kyle Busch in the playoffs. And you know, once you get Kyle Busch in the playoffs with a win, it's hard to knock him out. Okay.
Oh yeah.
So it's, I tell you what, man, you know, the Fox, the people that broadcast, when it's Fox's turn to broadcast, they ramp the season up and advertise it as the best season ever. That has not failed yet one bit.
Nope.
So it's going to be fun as we keep on going. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
One more segment you want to do is you want to talk about the Hornets real quick, right?
Yes. So obviously the basketball regular season, the NBA regular season is winding down. There are less than 10 games left. And, you know, so it's almost time for playoffs, you know, and if you look at the standings, at least as of right now, as of this recording on Monday, the Charlotte Hornets are kind of farther down the list than they used to be. But there is a positive to this now, and that is because both LaMelo Ball and Malik Monk are back from being injured for what seems like forever. As far as like the eyes of, you know, Hornets fans who have been watching this season, you know, just ramp up, it's felt like it's been forever since we've seen Monk and Ball.
It's been 20
on the floor,
22 or 23 games, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Which in a shortened season, that's a huge chunk.
You know, like, which for this shortened season, yeah, like you just said, that's a really big chunk of time. But we have LaMelo and Monk back, and I have to say, you can tell an immediate difference. Whether it means wins or losses, obviously it matters, especially late in the season. But just the fact that they're both back just gave a whole new, like, tempo and just, you know, it just, you know, gave a whole new tempo, and it just kind of – gave the Hornets, I guess you can call it a second wind, in other words, because what happens when Ball and Hayward and Monk and, you know, when all those guys got hurt in like a week and a half time, we had like six, seven players out for like a few games. Once those guys were out, the Hornets played really well for like the first week and a half after that, you know, because they kind of had to. But then after that, you know, because so many players were injured and just because, you know, guys like LaMelo and Monk and Gordon Hayward, who's unfortunately still out right now as of this recording. But, you know, for that first little bit afterwards, the Hornets were kind of playing up on fire. But then after a little bit, it just kind of slowly got worse. And here the past couple of weeks, the Hornets haven't been playing their best basketball, obviously, you know, because they haven't had those guys on the floor. But now that they're back and it's right at the end of the regular season, now's the time to make that playoff push. And it's a lot easier too, because even though the Hornets are like way down lower in the playoff race, those seeds 4 through 8 are still so tight as they have been pretty much all season. So if the Hornets can make a quick run at the end of this season with Monk and Ball back playing again, which I think the fact that they are back again is going to give them a really big boost in confidence. Oh,
yeah. 100%.
You know, a really big boost in confidence and just the way that they play the game is going to be a lot of fun to see and just kind of see how this regular season ends, because probably in next week's episode, we'll be talking about the NBA playoff picture.
Yeah.
And just kind of seeing where that leads and kind of how the Hornets are going to be involved in that. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this next week's going to go and how the Hornets are going to finish out the season, man. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, the game against Detroit the other night was awesome to watch because we had Ball and Monk back, and you know, the loss to the Heat was a downer for sure. That was a big game for playoff standings for sure.
That was a huge huge game.
I mean, but we got some ground to make up. You know, we can't count the season as a failure because there was stuff that's out of the team's control. I mean,
yeah,
players get injured, and unfortunately a lot of them got injured at the same time. And but if you have players step up, and even people that I like to joke about, like Biombo, when he stepped up against Detroit the other night, he played really good. You know, I was really impressed with Bismack Biombo, and I was, you know, very surprised that I was surprised or impressed with Bismack Biombo, especially after what I was hollering at the game we were at, you know, Mr. Gazelle out there.
Yeah.
But he did. He played really good against Detroit.
Yes.
And hopefully they can bounce back from the loss they had against Miami. That was a big punch in the gut when it comes to playoff standings for sure.
Yeah, it was for sure. Absolutely.
But, you know, hopefully we'll get Gordon Hayward back. I'm not sure what else is the process of him healing or whatever. But you know, this season we came in kind of not knowing what was going to happen anyway. So right. if for some reason we end up as a 9 seed and don't make it, I won't be disappointed because one, we get a lottery pick.
Yeah.
And two, we got something really good to build off of that we haven't had in 3 or 4 years.
Absolutely. For sure. And like, that's kind of been the perspective that I've had with this team for most of the season, you know, because once we kind of, you know, played for a little bit and kind of found out what we had, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, I mean, you obviously want to make the playoffs and just kind of see what, you know, what a lower seed can do in there. But the fact that we have this team now that we can build off this foundation that we have from this season, because, you know, just based off looking at contracts alone, there's already a lot of players, you know, that are guaranteed to come back next year no matter what. You know, I mean, like, there's obviously Terry Rozier. He's got one more year left on his contract, so he'll be back next season. You know, like, you got PJ Washington, Miles Bridges, both of their options were picked up at the start of the season. Obviously you got Ball, so just with those four players alone, that's already a really great core to start out with, not to mention the other players that are going to be re-signed. Even new players are going to come back in, you know, for next season. It's a really good foundation for the years to come, and I'm definitely looking forward to it. And plus, Gordon Hayward's under contract too, obviously, for the next few years after that as well. But just having the foundation of the core of the team to go on for the next few years to come, like you said, especially after what's happened the last few years with the Hornets, just having this to look forward to is going to be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's going to be fun. Well, we are at our last segment of the show. It is our, I guess you would say, our signature segment that has come about in the second season of Reverend Babel. It's time for our Minor League Baseball Team of the Week. This week is mine, mine to choose from. I asked Cody to give me a letter of the alphabet, and we settled on this one. So we have this week's minor league baseball team of the week is the Omaha Storm Chasers.
Omaha Storm Chasers. Okay.
Yeah. The Storm Chasers are a minor league baseball team of the AAA East, and they are the AAA affiliate of the Kansas City Royals.
Cool.
They are located, even though they're the Omaha Storm Chasers, they are located in Papillion, Nebraska, a suburb southwest of Omaha, and they play their home games at Werner Park, which opened in 2011. They used to play their home games at Rosenblatt Stadium, which is home, which was home of the College World Series up until 2010. Their logo looks pretty awesome. I mean, it's the lightning bolt, and the logo on their cap is a baseball pattern tornado, and the nose is a baseball bat. They used to be with the Pacific Coast League until, you know, the realignment and everything.
Yeah.
Their colors are royal blue, twister gold, blackout black, and powder blue. Their mascots are Stormy, Casey the Lion, Vortex, Sue Nami. Like SUE, name Nami.
That is the biggest. Sizzle. That's the biggest pun slash dad joke name I've ever heard.
Let's see. Their president is Marty Cordado, whatever. Yeah, sure. And manager is Brian Poldberg. So there you are. There's your minor league baseball team of the week, the Omaha Storm Chaser, which is a perfect name for that area, because if you do watch the College World Series in the summertime, there's at least two games that get delayed because of tornado warnings and softball size hail and big old lightning bolts and stuff like that.
It happens because, every year.
I mean, that's a perfect place for bad storms out there in the Great Plains of Nebraska. So, but that's our show, y'all. Thank y'all for listening along this week. Next Tuesday, where we normally record, that will be my first day where I'm kind of allowed to not be in quarantine. So, we'll see if that's a good day to be in person. If not, it's good to know we'll do this again. But if y'all don't mind, just keep your prayers for my family. Pray that we just keep progressing well. And even if I get it, you know, even if I test positive this week, just pray for us as we get through this and we help each other out. But I know that God's got a plan and God's going to see us through it. But y'all have a great rest of your week. Cody, thanks for jumping on to Zoom. I appreciate it, man.
Oh yeah, man. Absolutely.
And, the quality of this was outstanding, and I really enjoyed it. But
Same here, man.
Y'all have a great rest of your week, and we will see y'all next time. Bye.